Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, a new Amityville horror. While this story does not take place in Amityville, New York, it carries many similarities to the horrors endured at 112 Ocean Avenue many, many years ago. Striking details right down to the iconic eye-shaped windows adorning the top level of the home, which made the Amityville Horror a household name. This story takes place in Franklin, Virginia. It is the account given by an innocent family of three who battled seemingly demonic forces in what should have been otherwise a peaceful home that they would have loved for many years to come. What do you do when a dark force seems to attach itself to your loved ones, clouding their judgment and reasoning skills? What do you do when you constantly feel repressed and even attacked in your own home, in every room? What do you do when you feel your child's safety may be in danger by an unseen force? Today, we talk with paranormal investigator Jackie Tomblin about her encounters and discoveries when investigating this house of horrors.
It's located in Franklin, Virginia. It's a very small town in the country. It's a beautiful, beautiful home. It has the wraparound porch. It's an old farmhouse, and we laughed when we pulled up to it because it has the Amityville windows around the chimney. And it was funny because when Tiffany originally contacted me, this was her own hell and her own Amityville. Mm-hmm. Now, she contacted several people and couldn't get anyone to come out there. She had cleared to come out there to bless the home. They just refused to return. It was a nightmare for them. They were literally living a nightmare.
When they first got to the home, when they first started renting the home, what was going through their minds? What were they feeling at the home initially?
Paradise. This was a beautiful farmhouse on a beautiful setting, and she has horses, and she has all these animals, and there's this large barn, and it is picture perfect. It is everything they want.
They get there. They have a daughter that's there. That they're just
Georgia.
It just feels like home. Like they found their perfect place. How was the dynamics of the family between Tiffany and Billy and Georgia at that time when they first got into the house?
Wonderful. I mean, it's like a dream come true. Granted, they were hoping to do a rent to own. The owner wasn't on board with that. But this setting of this home and this farm was just absolutely picture perfect. It really was. Now, on the day before they signed the contract, before they signed the lease on the property, of course, Tiffany went around taking pictures of the home. Mm-hmm. And everything was going along just fine. Later on, after things started occurring, and she went back and looked at those pictures, there is a man's face in the upstairs window, just as plain as day. And she had not noticed that before.
When she was going around and taking pictures, and when they had the chance to look at the place and decide if this is going to be where we're going to make our home, was there?
Oh, absolutely! She's taking those pictures. Yeah. She's excited. She's sending it to family and friends. Look what we're about to rent. Yeah. This is perfect. This is everything we could have ever imagined.
Were there any elements? And this may be kind of a retrospective thing that she looks back on and answers, but were there any elements, because we hear this quite often, where it's like, this is almost too good to be true? Was there any of that?
Yes.
Okay. Like, what were they? What were some
of those
points?
Matter of fact, those were her words to me. because it was just, it was everything they wanted, and then some. That wraparound porch has a breezeway that cut through the house. It was just, it was ideal, and it allowed, the fencing of the area allowed the horses in the front yard.
Was there any red flags initially to the too good to be true element of this is going for such a low price or anything of that nature as far as rent or anything that may have stood out going, wow, this is great. How can this be?
I think the one concern was, you know, it is a farmhouse. Mm-hmm. It was older and you know, what it was going to cost to heat it.
Ah.
You know? But that was the only, you know, I mean, that cost to them would be compensated for having everything they ever want.
Sure. Sure. So. And no inklings from the person they were renting from that there may be something more to this home.
Not at all. Okay. Not at all.
So they get into the house, they start their life there. How long does it go in peaceful serenity and bliss before red flags start popping up?
Initially, I'd have to go back and pull my file, but I'm going to say approximately 2 months.
Okay. What were some of those first things that were happening in that home that made them raise their eyebrows at least?
The dining room that adjoins the kitchen. Mm-hmm. There is a door that goes into a crawl space. There's two different sets of flights of stairs in this home. And this one crawl space door just seems to open. It's always open. Like every time she walks through the room, she's closing that door. And she said, you know, you don't think about it because, you know, you're looking at an old house with hardwood floors. And maybe if you hit the wrong floor, board on the floor or whatever, it pops that door open. So they put a latch on it. And she came in and still found that door open. And she said that she didn't question it until they latched the door. And apparently they were sitting at the dining room table that night. And it wasn't a real fancy dining room. It was just where they ate. And they were sitting there talking about it, and the door opened in front of them. And what she described to me was it didn't just pop open. That door swung open. And I believe that was the first occurrence where they started to question things. Initially, while she called me in, wasn't so much the activity in the home. Her animals were dying.
Oh.
These were in the barn. There was a very, very large rabbit. It's a name for this rabbit, which I don't remember. She lost basically all of her animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she originally contacted me on. And she says, I know you think this is crazy. She said, but I think it's the house.
Was there anything beyond, obviously, we have the door that's opening, we have the animals that are dying, and you had mentioned that she had looked at trying to contact several other people prior to you as well without getting any sort of a response or any sort of agreement to come out. Were there other occurrences that were going on that were troubling to them that they were attributing to being paranormal?
Well, going back to Amityville, she says, do you remember the flies in the kitchen? The large flies. She said, that has happened twice. That I've walked in the kitchen and my counters are covered. She said, they're not the size of horse flies, but they're larger than flies. And when I come back in the room, they're gone. Not a trace of anything. And she said, and the only one that has seen this is me, so Billy thinks she's nuts. Basically, she was attacked during her sleep. To which Billy was home, and Billy traveled at this point in time, okay? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it was just Tiffany and Georgia in the home. And she was attacked in her sleep to where he could visibly see the scratch marks on her.
Mm-hmm.
And know that they weren't hers, and not only that, there was one on her back that he just knew for a fact she couldn't reach. So it's not something she did in her sleep.
What is going through Billy's mind if he's not present there because he's on the road, but he's hearing these stories and then eventually seeing those scratch marks? How is that affecting their relationship? What's going on in his mind?
It's getting bad.
Yeah.
It's getting really bad because, you know, he's not really on board with this. This is an old house. It's going to creak. It's going to, you know, things like that. And at this point, he's scared that Tiffany is going to scare Georgia. So, yeah, things are starting to get pretty heated between her and Billy.
So he's not truly, do you believe, looking back at this, that he was not truly believing it, or was he too scared to accept what the other possibility might be here in reality?
Looking back on it, I think he was in agreement with us coming in for an investigation to prove there was nothing there.
So he thought you were going to come in and you were going to be the answer saying, nope, the house is clean. It's just an old house.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, he was on board with the investigation. You know, he did share that his personal experiences weren't what hers were, you know? And, but they were fighting about it quite often. She was scared of the home. Georgia was scared of the home. He could not deny the fact animals were dying, you know? And he says, you know, if this is what it takes to get us some peace of mind, then I'm on board.
Did he have any personal experiences other than being present and witnessing the animals dying?
Other than witnessing the animals dying, he had witnessed the marks on her back.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think Billy had, you know, any experiences. He said, you know, Tiffany would speak of hot spots or cold spots. He said, look at the house. You know,
sure.
It's an old, airy house. So, you know, he said, you know, he just didn't really have. But like I said, at that time, Billy was traveling pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just Tiffany and Georgia in the home.
When Tiffany came to you and asked for your help and you were asking her what was going on, did she have any assumptions? Did she have any direction as to what or who she thought might be in the house other than just there are unexplained things happening here?
I think the worst thing was when Tiffany came to me and I listened to her and I told her I'd come out through the walkthrough, I was sitting on a 3-month waiting list.
Okay.
And I told her, I said, you're going to have to get through that 3 months. She didn't. We had to move things around and go sooner. But it just kind of broke my heart to let her know, I can't get to you right now.
Sure.
And she's also an hour and a half from me. Franklin is an hour and a half from me. And the day that I went out there to do the initial walkthrough and meet with her and Billy, we did so while Georgia was in school. And I knew then we need to come sooner. One of the things when we were going through the walkthrough of the home was upstairs in her master bedroom. I was running a voice recorder as we did the walkthrough of the home. And nothing was out of line as far as EMS for an old farmhouse. You know, nothing jumped out as alarming. But in the master bedroom, how do you describe it? You know, that creepy feeling where your skin crawls?
Sure.
Had that when I walked in the room, but standing at one of the windows, which is the same window she had found the man's picture in, on the voice recording, you hear like a deep breath behind me. And it does it 3 times. And of course, we didn't hear it audibly at that point in time. The barn just carried a feeling of a heavy oppression I could not describe. You know, and I told her, I said, we will see what we can shift around and get here as soon as we can. And I told her, I said, the other thing I got to factor in, too, how many cameras is it going to take to cover this place?
Yeah.
This was a huge location with that barn. We actually ran, I think, 12 cameras.
Oh. Tell me about the picture that you found in the window.
The picture that I found in the window, I mean, when she sent me the picture, the first thing I'm going to look at is the meta tag to make sure that picture hasn't been tampered with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an original file. It was an older man. You could see he had a white beard. I mean, it was very visible. And what was so alarming, it's the second floor. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's like, you go through everything from the sun reflection to what? No, this isn't actually a man standing in this window.
Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.